Good morning to you all. Glad to be back down here with our church family in Pleasant Hill. Last weekend we were up in Minnesota, and we'll go over that in just a little bit. Smaller detail anyway. This morning I'm going to present to you what I presented last week, and I acknowledge that it is slightly paraphrased from another Church of Christ member that I found the sermon online, and he's from the Kentucky area. Hopefully what we'll discover this morning is we will use what we learned to take the opportunity to see some qualities that we already have and perhaps make them any stronger. Because the members of my family that were there and are here this week are hearing this for the second time in 7 days, I put a couple little changes in there so that they can try to find those changes, and then they can say, aha, and that'll keep you awake, and perhaps you've forgotten all of it by this time already anyway from last week. Do you all remember, possibly, when you first fell in love? All was dancing and flowers and little cherubs shooting arrows into both of you. I'm here to tell you, especially young people, it's not all perfect. I'm not trying to discourage you, but logically, it's impossible for two people to agree on everything. It's just not going to happen. Well, it's the same with family members. Last weekend in Minnesota, first of all, we had a little over a baker's dozen people there. We got together on Sunday morning, and we sang some songs. We said some prayers. I presented this. We had a little church service there. We even partook in the Lord's table there. Very carefully, I might add, because there was no perfect little tray to hold the cups, and I was really worried about spilling all over this table we didn't own. What I noticed, though, with our family members that went along with what I was already presenting is that even though we got along, and we do get along fairly well, when you're thrown together in that one house, it's not always perfect. You don't always get along. You don't always agree on everything. So it's interesting to see the interactions amongst the family members and to see how close we were, yet at times things were testy. The trick, though, how do you get to those differences? Today I'm going to give you a suggestion that hopefully will overcome these differences. So as I titled this last week, and I present to you, fortunately, in the same month, I called it Thanksgiving, July 2016. Come for the Thanksgiving celebration in Minnesota, July 21st to the 24th. Could have been the invitation that we sent out to my family members. Thanksgiving? Well, yeah. I'm not taking anything away from the national holiday at all. But why should we only have one Thanksgiving a year? In Colossians 3:17, we're told that once Thanksgiving a year would not be enough for a Christian that tries to follow Paul's advice, which says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him." In whatever you do, all the time, every day of the year, we should be giving thanks. We should be known as a thankful people. In fact, Colossians 2:7 declares that we should be overflowing with thankfulness. And Ephesians 5:10, we're told that we should always give thanks to God for everything in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We should be known as a grateful and thankful people, and that should be true of us in every aspect of our life, especially true in our homes and how we deal with our families. Here's a little illustration that he had. A few years ago, there was conducted a series of studies in an attempt to discover what characteristics were common in strong families. Researchers discovered six qualities. The quality, and perhaps the most important one, was found in strong families that they were appreciative of one another. They concluded that families which were strong because the family members expressed appreciation for what each family member did and for who they are. In a similar study, a researcher looked into the effect of praise in the workplace. The study showed that a ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needed to be 4-1 before employees felt that there was a balance. there had to be four times as much praise as there was criticism before they felt good about their work and about the environment that they worked in. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that people need appreciation. They need praise. And they need these things four times as often as they receive criticism to have a healthy environment at work or at home. Many families don't understand this basic reality. I discovered last week when I did this next illustration that showing my age, I don't think the kids even knew who these two people were. Hopefully you'll understand this, though, this illustration. There was a man who always teased his wife with a lack of interest in household chores, about her lack of interest in household chores. One day he came home with a gag gift, a refrigerator magnet that read, "Martha Stewart doesn't live here." The next day he came home to find the magnet holding up a slip of paper, and that note read, "Neither does Bob Villa." Now that was meant as good-humored fun, right? But there are homes where those kind of comments are not made to be funny. They're intended to be offensive. They're meant to hurt, to cause pain. Even in the best of homes, there are harsh words and occasionally there are hard feelings. Why? Why does that happen? Well, there are a number of reasons. One of the most basic reasons there are harsh words and hard feelings in a home where there are lack of thankfulness. When parents or children forget the blessing that that wife or the child or their husband, they actually are to them. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. Many of you have probably already heard this illustration. To put it in perspective, one young college woman supposedly wrote home to her mother this, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke it, and my left leg, when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory where we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. That service station attendant, Paul, he came to see me every day, and because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice. Paul and I are planning to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunk chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in the proper perspective. You see, thankfulness for family is often a matter of having the right perspective as to what or who or what is important. But too often we're not thankful. Why are people so negative? Negative comments are often the way that we try to modify someone else's behavior. Parents put down their kids, wives insult their husbands, husbands malign their wives because they believe this is the best way to let their displeasure know, be known, and to change the behavior of the ones they're being upset from. And when we complain to others, often this is simply our way of trying to enlist support. It's our way of trying to get other people onto our bandwagon so that we have the extra help in bringing about that change that we desire. And, sadly, most of us are inherently critical by nature. In fact, James comments in James 3, 9 through 10, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." In other words, God knows we unconsciously make critical comments. He knows we have a tendency to a critical spirit, and He commands us then, in Colossians 3:17, as we said, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." God knows that we tend to be unconsciously critical of those around us, and so He commands us to be consciously thankful for all things. This is especially important in our homes because a healthy home has an atmosphere where we compliment four times as much as we criticize. How do we develop a thankful spirit in our home then? What if they're not deserving of me being grateful for them? What if your husband or wife or child or parent or cousin or whoever it is isn't as perfect as you'd like them to be? A man by the name of Frank Fried had an excellent piece of advice that goes with this. He said, folks, the grass is not greener on that side of the fence. The grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. The way for a thankful heart is to turn my heart into a garden of thanksgiving. A heart needs to be a place where I plant the seeds of thankfulness and fertilize and water that garden with constant tending. In short, you and I need to practice thankfulness, and God says the best place to practice thanksgiving is in His presence. All right. Have you pictured someone in your family as I've been talking this morning? A spouse, a child, a cousin, aunt or uncle, a church member, me, maybe even you. Have you pictured someone that sometimes is hard to live with? I want you to think about them for just a moment, and I want you to bow with me as I say a prayer. Father in heaven, as we're gathered here at this moment, this morning, we pray that you would search our minds and see who has come to our minds. Father, we pray that if the people that we're thankful for but sometimes hurt us, if the things that they do, Father, are not according to your will, we pray that you would touch their hearts and change their ways, or give us the words that we might reach out to them and make them better people and easier to be with. Father, we pray that if it is our own problem that we don't understand your will, we pray that you would give us the wisdom to see that maybe we're even wrong and that we need to change our ways and how we think about those around us that we love. But Father, more than anything else, we pray that you would give us the strength to always be thankful for those around us that mean so much to us, and to never forget those of our family are always there for us in times of need, in times of struggle, and in times of joy. This is our fair prayer, Father, through your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. So we may need to pray to God and focus on the things that we're thankful for about our spouse or child or whoever it is. Now, if I do that on a regular basis, what will change? Will it change the behavior of my spouse? Will it change the behavior of my child? I don't know. But I do know that using criticism is not the most healthy way and best way to modify people's behavior. It's true that in our society, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You can change things in this world by being critical and in your face. However, if you do that often enough, what happens? People don't want to be around you anymore. The critical people in this world are just not that much fun to be around. Another illustration. One pharmacy posted this sign by the service bell: ring once for service, ring twice for poor service, ring three times for no service at all. It's just a truth in life that if you want someone to respond kindly to you, you need to express an attitude of gratitude. Before we go on, I haven't been looking at my clock all day this morning. Or is it really that early? Am I going that quickly, or did I get started early? Sorry. But what if the person doesn't change? The person that we're praying for. What if they still behave badly? What if they still irritate you? Do you get a pass on God's command to be thankful then? I don't think so. It doesn't matter what the results may be in the lives of those around you. God still commands that you and I are people of thanksgiving. It's worth noting that even if we can't alter the behavior of others by our gratitude, this attitude can still have a powerful benefit in our life, can it? That benefit, while it may not change those around us, it might change us. This was a hard part of the sermon the last time, so I'm going to try to change my thought process so I can get through it better. There was a missionary, Benjamin Weir, who was held hostage in Lebanon and imprisoned in miserable conditions for 16 months. In the first interview after his release, he was asked how he spent his time and how he dealt with boredom and despair, and his answer stunned the reporters. He simply said, "I counted my blessings." "Blessings?" they responded. "Yes," he said. "Oh, I'm doing it again." "Some days I got to take a shower. Some days there were vegetables in my food. And I could always be thankful for the love of my family." "Okay, I'm not going to do this time." "I'm already doing it," I said. "You know, as I was going over it, and it happened to me again, I had the thought, does it remind you of anybody that you have encountered in your life? Our family, we kind of felt like that was the matriarch of our family, our Audrey Brady. Is there someone similar in your life that you know, though, that sounds like that? Under the most dire of circumstances, they pick out all the things that are wonderful. They're thankful for the things around them." Benjamin Weir discovered the power to overcome his circumstances by learning thankfulness. He was physically in bondage, but spiritually and mentally he was free. Why? Because he had learned to give thanks to the Father even in harsh circumstances. The point is this. We need to be a people who is known for thankfulness. You know, the first part of your prayer this morning, Dave Engel, had thanks to God. First thing he said, it's the way our service opened today, on a day where I was going to speak about thankfulness in the family. Maybe that's common. Maybe I just noticed that because it was on my mind for what I was going to speak. But we should be known, obviously, as a thankful person for the wonderful things that we have here in this church, for the love that we have for one another, for the love that God has for us, and the way that we can come together and support one another on days like today and throughout the week. So yes, we need to be of a thankful spirit toward God. But I also want us to remember that we need to be thankful in our homes. We need to be thankful especially with our wives and children and husbands and parents and grandchildren and aunts and uncles, our families. Partly because of the way that it can bring change in our families, and more importantly because of the change it can bring into our own lives and hearts. In closing last week, I said I was thankful for my family that it had enough love for one another that they had taken the time to come together in that house and show the appreciation for who we are and what we have and what we mean to one another. So yes, you can apply it however you want in your life when I'm talking about building you up stronger as a family. It could be right here, the strength that we have in this church family. It can be in your individual homes, that strength that you have in your own family, the thankfulness and love and bond that you have for one another. You have a strong bond, I hope, but it can still be stronger, especially if we remember to be thankful for one another, even when we don't seem like we're somebody that's easy to love. I hesitated to say this sermon again. I felt kind of lazy, I guess, because I had already presented it last week. But I've come to a point in my life where I have discovered that I'm more thankful for things. I've discovered how important having people around that you care about is. For somebody who is as boisterous and outgoing as I am, I'm horrifically shy in groups of people. And I'll have a tendency to go hide. You know, family gets together, and it's easier to go watch NASCAR or whatever. I don't know why that is, but what I've discovered is if I take the time to sit down and let the conversation roll as I'm listening to it, I'm becoming closer and closer to those that I've always thought that I was close to. Maybe I'm the last one in here that understands that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Because I want you all to have that great feeling. It's made, I don't know, it just seems like it's made my heart just explode with love in the last 2 or 3 months. So take the time to be thankful for one another in this room. Take the time tonight to express your thankfulness to somebody that's in your family, even somebody that maybe you haven't let them know that you were thankful because they just don't seem like they deserve it. Get past that. Because it will make you a better person. And even when it seems like that person that you're thankful for will never, ever, ever change, they just might. My youngest daughter, asked after the service last week that we would pray for her because sometimes she and her siblings don't always get along. And you know, you think about those young kids, how precious they were, how precious they still are. And it's so hard to reach them. It's so hard to get them to bond, to stay together in that strong family. And this is 100% ad-lib, folks. I wasn't planning on talking about this. This is why we have so many tears right now. Because this is where this thought this morning, this thankfulness sermon has led me. And how thankful I am for my family, all my children, my grandchildren. And yet as much love and how much affection we have, it's still not perfect. So we need to continue to be strong. We need to continue to reach out to those that mean so much for us. And with that, I will give you our lesson at its close. So this morning, let's not only remember to be thankful for one another, but in an invitation, be thankful for the one who loves you the most, your God. Your God who sent His Son down here to live in this same flesh and body that we have, and then sent Him to die for you. If you haven't taken the time to acknowledge that, but you know it's right, and you know that He wants you to be baptized, He knows that He wants you to follow His word. If you haven't done that, take the time. Consider doing it this morning. Or if there's something else that we can help you with, whatever it might be, come forward while we stand and sing our invitation song.